Okay, you can go whenever you're ready. Try not to say and try not to play with your toys too much.
I'm trying not. I'm molding the figure at present, so.
Hi, this is John Delancey, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
And welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Actually, I should say, hello there.
Why, hello there.
Oh, man.
Yes.
So you are over the 400 mark. You're at 401 now. Yay!
Yay!
And we're here to talk about the things that we like to talk about and not the things we don't like to talk about, because no one wants to listen to us talk about things that we don't like.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I have thoughts going through my head right now, and I just don't want to say anything. But anyway, so yes. First up, we have a slightly older story, but not that much. Well, not that much older. About a week. From CBR, The Batman's second HBO Max spinoff series is about Arkham Asylum.
So I got to ask you, do you really care?
Again, we live in a world now where headlines are everything, and most people won't read past the headline.
Yep.
I look at headlines, and if it appeals to me, I will click on it, whether it's clickbait or not. I will click on it and see what it's about. If it makes me go, then no, I won't click on it. So I kind of do, because again, I have not seen The Batman yet. The Batman is currently exclusively in movie theaters. It will be on HBO Max on day 46. So it has 45 days in theaters on day 46. So it officially released March 4th. So sometime in late April, early May, I think, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
Is when it will hit HBO Max, and I've already got the score set, the musical score from the movie saved in Spotify. I've kind of listened to a little bit of the music, but not much, because I want to be able to
immerse yourself.
Once the film comes out, I am loving what I've seen of the trailers and of the clips and of the whatever. If we got this movie. Like a decade ago, it would be sparkly vampire Batman, but it isn't. And I'm fine with that. I like that from what I've seen of Pattinson as Batman in the suit. I'm digging it. Absolutely digging it. So I am here for the new Batman universe, whatever they're going to create, whether it's Matt Reeves or whomever else. And I like an Arkham series because it's not something like, okay, yes, Gotham, that series, that 5-season television show, kind of focused on the early days of what the early days might have been kind of thing, blah, 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 blah. It was okay. It had some good points. It had some bad points. It was whatever. You've got the Alfred Pennyworth series on whatever streaming service that's on. I don't even know. I've barely watched it. But this is interesting to me because they're taking Batman in a whole new direction. I recently said to Optimus Solo on a podcast, if you look at the 80s, 80s to early 80s to 90s, I'll say 1980 to 1999. Half of those years when films were being released, we knew, even though we didn't have internet back then until like 95, obviously, but you know, in the 80s, we didn't have internet. You watched like Entertainment Tonight or whatever to get what we're talking about, you know, all that stuff. So my point is, we knew who actors were. Like, you knew that Bruce Willis was John McClane, but you also knew Bruce Willis in every other film that he did because you knew who the guy was. Same thing with Mel Gibson, same thing with Tom Cruise, even though Tom Cruise is a whole other level. But my point is, what I was trying to say to Kevin the other night was, I don't know who any actors are anymore. Like, I don't know these young actors anymore. Like, half the people in Twilight, no clue who they are.
Well, they kind of went off the face of the earth. And
okay, and that's
other
and
than
that's
the
fine.
Two leads.
Right. But my point is, when I was a kid, I knew and I paid attention to all of the actors who were acting at the time in the movies that I was watching. Nowadays, unless it's a Marvel movie or unless it's something very specific or unless it's an actor that I already know, I don't know half of the acting world, if I would say 90% of it. Like, no clue. So with this, I think this is great because you have Pattinson as Batman now and, you know, you have what's her name? Zoe Kravitz is Catwoman. You have all these people. You have this burgeoning universe that they can make a whole new thing. So I'm absolutely excited for this. Really quickly to get this news story out of the way, Matt Reeves was speaking to the Toronto Sun, teased that fans can expect to see more of the sinister Gotham landmark, Arkham Asylum. When asked what his plans are following the release of the Batman, Reeves noted that while one of the spin-off series will be focused on Colin Farrell's Oswald Cobblepot, a.k.a. the Penguin, the other is more mysterious. We are doing the Penguin series, and we are doing another series that connects to Arkham Asylum, said Reeves. While undoubtedly a vague description, this is the first time any kind of information of the second planned HBO Max series has been formally revealed. I think this is cool. Because Arkham's always been that rotting wound in the background. Yes, they've gone to Arkham. Yes, they've been in Arkham, or they've done this, or they've kind of done Arkham. But they, like, this to me is potentially, it isn't what the Arkham games were, but in a more metaphysical kind of thing, like, it isn't going to be the story from the Arkham games, but they are using Arkham like the Arkham games did, I think. I don't know. If it's going to be a mystery and it's going to surround Arkham, I'm here for it. I want to at least try and see what it's about and see if I will like it. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm not so sure, but I haven't seen the movie, so I'm this is just off the cuff thoughts. I'm not in love with the bat suit. I'm not in love with some of the changes. Mm-hmm. That I've heard, and honestly, like, I don't care about year one Batman.
Well, that's technically year two Batman.
Well,
but yeah,
whatever.
I
want to establish Batman. Yeah. Like, no, I don't want the one picking up and throwing people, you know, face first into a wall and,
yeah,
you know, bludgeoning them and whatnot. But I don't know. I think I'm over some of these older or like some of these properties and I just don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. And while yes, I would love an Arkham Asylum series. I would have liked if they would have taken basically the premise from the Arkham Asylum or Arkham City video game and adapted it to a series. Although they kind of did that with Gotham.
A little bit,
but it's still...
There were shades of it, but it wasn't just directly adapting it, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of on the fence. I'm kind of hoping that, you know, it goes in that direction, but I don't know.
Like I said, you know, I'll say cautiously optimistic, but I'm also on the edge of my seat waiting to see what happens because I haven't been excited for a new Batman since Bale in more so in The Dark Knight because, like you just said, you don't want year one Batman. You want, you know,
established
Dark Knight Returns Batman, established Batman, yada, yada, yada. with this, the way I see what they're doing with this, starting him at year two, with him still learning and him still doing the more physical, like, you know, throw your face into the ground kind of thing, they're giving us a starting point to get the Pattinson Batman established. Because Robert Pattinson is how old now? I don't even know.
I think he's around, I think he's in his mid to late 30s.
Okay. I'm not sure. But my point is he's got a number of years that he could be playing. Like, I haven't seen the full movie of the Batman, but from what I've seen of him, I mean, the kid can has got a number of years to go with his acting. Yeah, he's the same age as you. He was born May 13th of 86.
Okay, so he's a month older than me.
Yeah, so he's 35. At 35 years old, if he can play Batman for, say, 10 years, or if friggin' Ben Affleck, who is God knows how old, can play Batman, this kid can. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Affleck is 49, so...
Well, same token, we have Keaton.
True. He's coming back. Yep. I mean, you know, yeah. So I'm excited to see what they do with this, because I think it's a new direction that could evolve into something that would become established. I'm not going to sit here and say it's the new DCAU kind of thing, but they have to start somewhere. And I have seen very few negative opinions about the film. I've seen people saying it's great, it's this, it's that. There may be one or two things that we didn't, but anyone who has seen the film already, as of this recording, I've not really seen any negative opinions online. Hmm.
Yeah, I've not seen any either, but I have heard that they finally touch on Bruce's detective side.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is welcome.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic for what comes with this universe. But again, we'll see. I mean, I'm not gonna crap on the parade of it. I don't know enough about it to make a honest opinion.
I will say, before anyone writes in or whatever, the only negative thing I've heard about this is that people don't like that the Riddler is essentially just a serial killer.
Yeah, that's the other thing that rubs me wrong, but...
Yeah, it rubs me wrong too. But that's the only negative thing I've seen from people about, like, that they don't like that. And that's fine. That's valid. I mean, why would you turn that care? Whatever. It is what it is. Up next, we've got our good old buddy Ben Gates. He's going to take his face off. So, the only reason why I'm even bringing this up is because it actually surprised me. I didn't realize there was a supposed face-off sequel in the making. And National Treasure 3 has been in developmental hell for years.
Mm-hmm.
So two of Nicolas Cage's more beloved properties, Face-Off and National Treasure, the National Treasure franchise, are confirmed to be getting revivals for a new generation. But as far as whether we can expect Cage himself to appear, he claims that he has yet to be approached. Disney Plus is developing the National Treasure television series, which is said to be an extension of the film series. While the upcoming Face-Off is expected to be a sequel, in this regard it's hard to imagine a sequel where Cage wouldn't appear as Castor Troy, though it's possible the project from writer Simon Barrett and director Adam Wingard is in early enough stages that it hasn't been discussed with Cage yet. And basically what he says to Hollywood Reporter is, I have not heard hide nor hair about it as far as the Face-Up follow-up. You know, he also goes on to say, so often these things we read about are just conjecture without any base or foundation to it. I feel the same about National Treasure 3. It's been 14 years. There's no there. So it's fun to think about? Sure. Would Face Off 2 be an exciting movie to make? Oh, hell yes. But John Woo was such a huge voice in that movie, it couldn't be a remake. I think these filmmakers even said as much. And the article goes on and on and on. Again, for me, it's all about quote-unquote old Hollywood. Like, Nicolas Cage at this point is old Hollywood. And like he said, it's been 14 years since the last... It's been 15. It came out in 2007. It's been 15 years since the sequel, National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets. And Face Off was mid-90s, I think. Or no, it was 94. I think it was 94. Anyway, point is... Would I be interested to see this? Yes. Am I going to check out whatever this potential National Treasure Disney Plus television series is when it comes out? Sure, I'll check. Just like with Mighty Ducks, I checked it out. I watched the episodes.
And then they got rid of... They got rid of my reason for watching, and now I don't care about season two.
Yeah, no. Same here.
So, Don't ruin it. You know what I think is going to happen with the Disney Plus with the National Treasure reboot?
Maybe.
That's typically what they do.
I know we now live in a world versus 15 years ago where it was kind of like just starting where we are now, but I know we live in a world where movies get turned into television series all the time and vice versa and blah, 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 blah. All as I wanted out of National Treasure. The first movie, I loved the first movie. I was fine. Every moment of it. I had no expectations of a sequel, even though they, hinted at or did, a little stinger at the end or whatever to say, hey, there's a sequel coming. Well, in the sequel, as much as I love Book of Secrets, they throw this like, let me know what's on page 47, or let me know this or this. And I mean, when Nicolas Cage, as the character of Ben Gates, tells the president, I think I can help you out with that, sir. You expect a third movie like 2 years from 2007, but oh no. And I understand 2009 was writer's strike and all of that and everything else. But man, 15 years is a long wait. I don't know. All right, next up we have, and it just, at some point I want to do a whole streaming episode somewhere at some point, but anyway, Hulu to lose next day streams of NBC shows, shifting to Peacock instead. So for those of you who don't know, if you have Xfinity, Comcast, whatever you want, whatever the company wants to be called, as long as you have a certain plan, Peacock is included with your whatever. You can actually pay for Peacock so you don't have ads, but it's there for free in addition to your cable package or whatever. Well, Peacock is now doing more streaming than ever. So Hulu, who is owned by Disney because Hulu,
primarily
ABC, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So, they're going to lose the NBC Next Day shows, and I
don't blame them.
I don't have any,
I don't really care, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, I don't really, so when Hulu started doing next day airings, I thought it was great. Okay, I don't have to watch I'll just use this just because. I don't have to watch Last Man Standing when it airs with commercials. Since I pay for Hulu, I can wait for the next day stream in the morning and watch it ad-free. Great. Sure. Fine. I mean, that was the whole point of the next day streams for Hulu, was so people, at least in my personal opinion, so people could watch them without commercials kind of thing. And honestly, I think I try to keep up with the Law & Order stuff from NBC now that the original Law & Order is back. And I've kept up with SVU for years, and now we have organized crime and all that and everything else. But, I'll marathon those. I won't watch those the next day after they air. I will, the next week. So, in the long run, for me, it sucks that Hulu, which I pay for no ads, will be losing these. but at least I can still watch them on Peacock. Just have to watch them with ads again. Okay, sure. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm indifferent on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so basically the article says a spokeswoman with NBC Universal said that they have terminated the deal with Hulu, which gave Hulu the rights to stream its programming the next day after it aired. The specific licensing change was anticipated by earlier reports and an NBC Universal strategy to reserve more of its content for Peacock. And I mean, it makes sense. Like I said, Disney, ABC own Hulu. So while I love having NBC shows on a streaming service that I pay for to not have advertisements, great. But for them to want to put it on their own service, that's fine. It's not like they're saying it's never going to be streamed anywhere ever again.
True.
Like, you know? So, yeah. We're going to take a little break, I think. Then we're going to come back and talk about some trailers.
Yay!
Chris. I need you back, Captain.
No matter how many stars there are in the sky, no matter how many galaxies swirl beyond our own, no matter what the mathematical probabilities or the number of times we say, we are not alone in the universe. Our first visit from the stars is always the province of children's stories and science fiction. Until one day, it isn't.
The fight is done. We lost. Stay hidden. The key. Hunting Jedi. This patience. Jedi cannot help what they are. Their compassion leaves a trail. The Jedi Code is like an itch. He cannot help it. Is he?
Coming back, talking trailers. What kind of hits you got on your trailer, Steve?
Ha ha ha. No, I was on online the other day, and I saw the Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't. I didn't actually see the trailer. I just saw a bunch of people freaking out about Obi-Wan, and yep. I'm like, they had to have dropped a trailer. So yep. I went and searched it out. I watched the trailer and I was like, okay, this is going to be pretty good. I mean, it's going to bridge the gap. They're going to get Hayden Christensen to come back and play Vader. And yep. So ultimately, like, there's a lot of cool things in there, but it also, I don't, it's kind of a double-edged sword here. I'm kind of torn because I really like Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right.
And my first Star Wars movies, of course, were the prequels in the theater. I did see the original trilogy on VHS. But
yeah.
So, I mean, I've gotten to watch this character of Obi-Wan Kenobi from start to finish, and then you're filling in a little bit more of the gray area in between, you know, before A New Hope and after Revenge of the Sith. And so I'm excited for it, and I'm optimistic for it, although there's aspects of me that are going, is it really needed? Is it going to end up being another one of the Boba Fett show? You know, I'm really wondering these things, and because they've got the Inquisitor, and people are already comparing that because it's basically a fathead Inquisitor, because they show him with like the narrow heads or whatever. Like, there's no CGI; it's clearly makeup. I don't know. People are nitpicking on that a little bit, but they're excited that Obi-Wan's coming back, and then the fact that Vader's in it, and they're saying Vader's supposed to be uber powerful, and they're being vague on whether you're going to see him without his suit or without his helmet at some point.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for it, and just kind of waiting to see what happens.
I forget when it was. It was a few months ago. No, I know when it was. It was November 12th, 2021. 11/12/21. Disney Plus Day. On Disney Plus Day, they spent the entire day giving you title cards of everything that was supposed to be coming either within the next year or over the next few years or Phase 4 for Marvel or whatever. And everybody lost their shit when the Obi-Wan title card popped up. And now, a few days ago, as you said, the trailer drops, a teaser trailer drops, May 25th, 2022, Star Wars Day, the Obi-Wan series. Now, the only thing, and this is why I wait for these, I'm not an appointment television person anymore. I haven't been since Netflix had me stream whole seasons, but because it's Obi-Wan, because it's this era of Star Wars, what I've been waiting for since we did our first Star Wars episodes over on MWire, when Movie Week in Review was still a thing here at GCRN, and I said, I want to see how things led up to his exile. They are now going to be giving us whatever story it is, but at least it's with Ewan McGregor. At least it's with, I assume, what like you said, Hayden Christensen, you know, as Vader. I hope they get James for voicing Vader. I don't know why they wouldn't. But yeah, I saw this trailer and very excited. The lines in the trailer and what they wrote on Twitter for the Obi-Wan Kenobi account that they made. Between darkness and defeat, hope survives. So I'm excited for this. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. And I probably will watch it week to week to week. I won't wait. It does say that it is a limited series. So yeah, Disney Plus and their limited series things, it's usually anywhere between 5 and 8 episodes normally. So, you know, as long as it's a good story, as long as, you know, it is what it is, I don't know. And then we head to a completely different universe.
Yeah, to the stars.
Yes, Strange New Worlds. Yes,
Strange New Worlds with Captain Pike, and it shows him riding a horse and looking like a caveman.
Yes.
Where he's they're basically calling him back to duty. And what I relate this to is this is likely him, because anybody that's seen Discovery Season 2, there was an event that took place in order to destroy Control or to get the sphere data away from Control. They had to send it into the future, and so they needed a time crystal. And what happened is the time crystal, they're like, there's a cost. for taking this time crystal. They're like, they showed Pike what a possible future would be for him. And it showed him as fleet captain, not admiral, as fleet captain, where he's on a training vessel, and it ties back to the old episode of The Menagerie with the original series, where he's in the chair and he's got the beep one for yes and two for no.
Yep.
And so what happens is he ends up getting these radiation chemical burns that it basically melts his skin and it makes him immobile, and and he needs a life support system to survive. So they put him on this chair. And so what had happened is when he went to get this crystal, they're like, beware, it causes madness when you get this crystal. And so they, you know, he grabs it because it's the fate of the universe and Captain has to do his duty. And I don't feel like some of the other captains would have done this as readily. It was definitely his persona. So he picks up the crystal. It shows him this event, and then he's traumatized. He backs up, and knowing that the fate of the universe is resting on his shoulders to get this crystal, he takes it. And they said, by you taking it, it cements this as your future. Like, there is no going back. Like, there's absolutely no way to get away from it. At this point, it is your future. And whereas if he didn't take it, it was still pliable. And so I'm wondering if that has to do with the fact that he's on Earth riding a horse, like he's done his second 5-year mission on the Enterprise.
Right.
And he's, because I think he does. Well, maybe not his second 5-year. I think his second 5-year starts with Strange New Worlds. But the I'm wondering if his first 5 years runs up and he's just like, I'm just going to go chillax for a while I still can. And not go back to Starfleet. And and they call him back to duty. And so I'm wondering that if how the show's going to probably end is seeing Kirk take the Enterprise, is what I'm guessing, like at the end of the series, and then have the event happen to Pike. But yeah, I'm optimistic for the series, although this trailer shows barely anything.
Yeah,
I'm optimistic for it.
I think, as someone who's a complete outsider, this, like I said, and I think that's the theme of this for this podcast episode for Alter Geek and for me, is that new, even though technically Obi-Wan isn't a new, quote, new universe, but between Batman and Star Trek, they're starting new universes, and that's how it felt to me, because even though I know who Pike is and whatever else, I know nothing else as to what's in this trailer. And even though there isn't much, it's just enough to pique an interest to say, okay, let me go over to Paramount Plus and check this out, kind of thing. And that's the way some trailers should do it.
Yeah. And like I said, I enjoyed it for what it is. I'm looking forward to the series. And seeing what they do, it should be rather interesting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What else have you been doing?
Well, customizing action figures, but and selling other ones, and waiting for ones to show up that I've. it's kind of a race at this point. Well, for those that don't know, like, and I'll talk about this on like ToyCast more, and probably all things Transformers. So there'll be a little bit of an overlap here. But for those that don't know, I talked to a guy. Let's look at my Facebook Messenger and see. I talked to this guy at the middle of January. So he's like, so he's sending me the Maximal T-Rex Kingdom figures head.
Okay.
He just had a Junker Kingdom T-Rex laying around because he was using it for something else. And so I was like, you know, and he's going to do some kind of a Transformer related program in the future just for fun. And I will be doing some voices. And so in return, he was just like, because I was going to buy it off him. And he's like, don't worry about it. I'll just send it to you. So he says, it might take up to 2 weeks. I live in the middle of nowhere, unfortunately. So our post system here is trash. And he says, basically that they like to get him in and out of their office ASAP when he's in there. Cause they're always complaining about packages, you know, cause he always complains that packages take forever to get there or out. Mm. And so he says this on April 25th. So I check in with him on February 10th and I'm like, hey, just checking in. And, you know, he's like, you know, sorry, it's, you know, coming from Central Arizona. I've just finally had stuff arrive that he's been waiting for like a long while. And he shows me a picture of the head, you know, and it looks like he's done something to the face. Like, I don't know what it is, but I think he painted it white at one point, which is fine because I'm going to repaint the whole thing anyway. Right. I don't understand why it's all one color, but regardless, he says, you know, looking forward to seeing my project finished. And then I leave it at that. So then going to March 2nd, I'm like, hey, so I still haven't seen that head. In other news, and then I show him an update of the stuff. He says, I'm trying to get to the bottom of it as a few other things have disappeared too. He says, got to go to the post office. So he says, some items have suddenly disappeared in transit 20 minutes from his house.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy these days.
And well, what's funny is, and I'll get there. He, you know, I said, that's crazy. And so he sends me on, what is it? Last Friday. Yeah. Last Friday. He sends me a gift, says good news, everyone. And it's, Farnsworth from Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
He says that head should be there by next weekend at the latest. Post office couldn't give me any logical answer as to why anything has been taking so long, but they assured me that much. So he says that. That was last Friday. Tomorrow is Friday.
Yes, tomorrow is Friday.
I don't have a shipping USPS update. Like there is, like, unless it, like he said, it's in a shipping package. So theoretically I should be able to see, I have delivery confirmation or delivery,
tracking. Yep.
Yeah. It's informed delivery is what it's called. So they take pictures of your mail.
Yeah.
So I know what I'm getting every single day and it will tell me, it will also tell me if I have packages en route to my house.
Mm-hmm.
So mind you, granted, I haven't picked up mail since I dropped my family off at the airport Tuesday, but, or Wednesday morning, yesterday morning. Yes. But
yeah,
there's going to be 3 days worth of mail by the time I get in there because I just don't feel like going down to the mailbox. So anyways, it says I have one package on the way. One. And it says it's from International Bridge, whatever that is. I don't know if it doesn't tell me where it's coming from. I'm assuming it's the TransArt Optimal Optimus I ordered from China.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that because it correlates with, well, granted, it also correlates with last week with the guy telling me that it would be here next weekend. But regardless, what the delivery information says is, and this is the post office stupidity here. Picked up by shipping partner, USPS awaiting item. That's on the 3rd. On the 5th, arrived shipping partner, USPS awaiting item. So how does it arrive if it's not there? So then it says departed on the 5th, awaiting item.
Yeah.
Arrived on the 7th, awaiting item. Departed on the 7th. Awaiting item. Arrived on the 8th, departed on the 9th, arrived on the 10th, departed on the 11th. So,
yeah. Interesting.
Well, because it's, yeah, I think it's in a different time zone. Anyways, so I'm wondering whether this is the head and they're just grossly incompetent, because that would line up with when he went to the post office.
Yep.
However, I also ordered my Transheart Optimal Optimus, which is the masterpiece Optimus that looks just like the show, has the different heads, has the gimmicks, the ankle tilts, the toe tilts, the pop-out chest cannons.
Right.
Anyways, I ordered it on the 28th of February. Mm-hmm. They shipped it on the 1st. And their tracking on the website started on the 2nd, which would line up with the 3rd of here.
Yep.
So it says, like, arrived at sorting facility in Shanghai, departed sorting in Shanghai. And then it goes to departed facility in Shanghai, departed another facility. It's the same day, though. It says arrived at a sort facility, departed the processing center. And then it says China, arrive at international airport to abroad on the 5th. And then there's no update. So I'm wondering if it's on an airplane and it's going to be here sooner. Yeah. So I'm betting I'm going to get this Optimus from China before I'm getting a head from Arizona.
Yeah, the funny thing is the overseas shipping to, and I don't know, people who are listening to this who either live in Australia or China or Japan or the UK, anyone that lives on that side of the world, let me know. Let us know. You can tweet at me at TFG and Mike, or you can tweet at All Things TFV3 or at Geekcast Radio or at SCP-21. Let me know if someone in the UK sends a piece of mail, let's just say a package that weighs maybe 2 pounds. If they send it from their address across, like, town or to the neighboring town or to, like, basically, if I send something right now with quote unquote priority mail, 2 to 3 day delivery to Steve, who I'm in Washington State, he's in Colorado, I know it's going to get there, let's say, Thursday. It'll probably get to you by Saturday, if not Saturday, Monday. But I know it's going to get to you there because we're actually living in the same country and the USPS is slightly, supposedly, more smart here than whatever other mail services are around the world. But I'm wondering if, like, something like where you live and where I live overseas, if it would be that, like, shipping overseas is weird. Really weird.
Strange, because I remember when I worked at the car lot, I used to order Justice League figures and Batman the Animated Series figures and random things that I would order related to that. And I'd have them shipped to work.
Yeah.
There were sometimes I would buy them on eBay. I would get them within a week.
Yep.
And I'm like, how does that even happen? Like, sometimes I get them under 2, even though it'd say like 30 days. I'd get them in like a week and a half. What's odd is now I've ordered, granted, I've ordered stuff during the pandemic from China. So I've gotten, now that Transmetal 2 Dragon Megatron, I got that from a Transformers store in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So it was here within 7 days, but which again, it's Arizona, and I live in Colorado, and they're neighboring states. So I ordered the Transheart Optimus Primal last year. Mm-hmm. That's, I want to say, in like April, somewhere in that neighborhood, March, April, somewhere. Anyways, I got it. It showed up to work within, but it took up to 30 days. Like, I got it pretty close to that 30-day mark, which I was like, okay, you know, pandemic, nobody unloading docks. Okay, it's going to take a while. But it says 15 to 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm completely fine with that. I mean, it does go off the grid and you can't track it anymore because then it becomes U.S. Postal Service's problem. Whereas if it's FedEx or UPS, you know, FedEx is like, we're approaching your front door. UPS is like, we might kick it to your front door. U.S. Postal Service, where's your front door? like, and I'm not saying like anything against people that work for the post office, because I think that sometimes things get screwed up and it's with the sorting itself and then things coming from different priorities. But I'm sorry, but it shouldn't take, like, I've sold 3 things on eBay in the last month and they had them within 7 days in the continental United States. One of them was in New York. And they had it within 6 days. Yeah. So how does something from Arizona not make it to Colorado?
I don't know. So
I'm wondering what this item is at this point. It's either my Chinese Optimus Primal or Optimal Optimus, or it's the head from Arizona, both of which shipped on the same bloody day. So let's see which one shows up first. If it's the Optimal Optimus, I will give an update in the next when it shows up.
Yeah, it
check for my comments on the All Things TFV3 Twitter feed.
Yep.
When one of them shows up, there will be a picture to follow.
Look, it came. I have a head.
I hope it's the head first. I mean, for crying out loud, I'm like at the point where I want to start painting this guy.
Yep.
And I don't have the bloody part.
Yeah, so I will say that just to kind of close this out, I had also purchased something very small. It was like $10 USD. It was actually $13 Canadian plus shipping, but whatever. You know. And I ordered this on the 23rd. It was shipped. And estimated delivery is 23rd of February. The estimated delivery is March 3rd to March 16th. Well, it has 5 days to get to me. And there is no actual tracking number. Like, you can't. It's weird. Like, there is no tracking. But I know as soon as it, like, gets in my building, eBay is going to start sending me emails and text messages saying, your thing is like 5 feet away, 10 feet away, whatever kind of thing. So I will talk more about what this thing is on All Things Transformers. And then, you know, when it shows up, it shows up. Anything else we want to bring up?
So I'm enjoying the fact that I can have this time to be creative and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I'm currently batching it at my house, as people are calling it right now, because my family is in Michigan.
Yes.
Visiting my family and their family. And yeah. Yep. So I am sitting here at my house. I've probably sat in my chair longer than I should have today. I worked from home today too, so
true.
My shower's being gutted and redone. Shower inserts are terrible.
Yes, they are.
Now, I didn't have mold like I thought, because they did go, the guy did go through it, and
that's
so
good.
But it was having issues on the bottom of it, and that's part of why I had it tore out. And then he's tearing it apart, and he's like, "Oh," because he has the same builder and same house as me. Just down the street, and he does construction on the side, and he goes, oh yeah, he says they cut corners anytime they can. So he pulls off the inserts, and he's showing me that they didn't even run the water line properly.
Oh god.
He's like, he says, oh, they, he says the inserts sit out about 3 inches on either side, like all the way around in diameter, so I will actually gain 6 inches back to my shower with having it tiled. But he's showing me this, and he's like, yeah, they put these 2x4s here to support the beam structure, he says, but they didn't put the pipes, like, and they're just like the hoses, like they don't use copper for a lot of the stuff anymore. So he shows me this, and it's like it's over. And he says, and the outlet, like the faucet thing that turns the water on and off in the shower, it's not even bolted to the wood. It's just hanging there, like in the wall.
Oh my God.
And so like, I think they used the enclosure to secure it and not do it properly, which is why it wobbles a little bit. And so he fixed all that. He did it right. And then, so he's got it prepped. So tomorrow he's going to tile it. And then I've got to clean a bunch of stuff around the house, get it all ready. So when they get back, and then, they're having a talent show at my church on Saturday. So we're, Mary's like, oh, and I'm not going to be there. And she's like, you have to record it. And I'm like, ah, ha, ha. but yeah, so what I'm going to do though, is I had to write an episode for the program I produce, and to make it easy on myself. Plus, well, it's not easy on myself. It's going to be harder too, because I'm an idiot. So I'll get to that in a second, but half the people for the talent show will end up singing.
Okay.
It's just nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. Most of them will end up singing. It's just what happens. Somebody will probably tell a joke. Somebody will probably read or something, or do something goofy, or I don't know, or act or something. I'm going to read this production that I wrote that's not actually been produced yet. It will be next week. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to read, and I'm going to play all the characters. So I had already scripted it with me playing three anyway.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is to get up to like between 6 and 10.
Oh, wow.
Voices. Even if it's just like a one liner of different, of different voices. So I'm still debating whether I want to start it with Casey Kasem or Kermit the Frog for the starting.
I would start it with Kermit and end it with Casey, but that's just me.
Okay. That makes sense. But yeah, so I mean, I've got some different characters I'm going to pull from, and I'm probably going to do like a Barney Fife from Andy Griffith. And I pulled that one on somebody on the last season that we did. They ended up needing somebody that was supposed to be a goofy security guard at a school. And he had a megaphone, and the cop takes it away from him because they're trying to get everybody's attention and arrest somebody. And he's like, you have a megaphone? What do you got that for? And he takes it away from him. And then he goes, hey! You know, so, but I, you know, he's like, you took my megaphone! You know, and so they, you know, the director of the program just lost it. He's like, he's like, all right, that's good. He's just keeping it.
Barney Fife is in the building, folks. Yeah.
So I'm debating whether I want to try Morgan Freeman for a line or two, but I.
So the reason why I say you should start it with Kermit and end it with Casey is
Kermit's
with
easier. Kermit.
Well, no. I mean, for you, they're not all easy, but you know, for Kermit, it's like, hi ho, Kermit the, and I know you're not going to say Kermit the Frog, you know, but
I'll say it.
You know, you can do the hi ho thing, and at the end, you as Casey, you can do, you know, keep your feet on the ground and your face in the stars, or whatever the Casey Kasem classic sign off is.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, I will. It's keep your feet on the ground and your mind in the stars, or I used to know it.
Well, I was telling somebody, anyway. I was telling somebody about it, and they're like, that name's vaguely familiar to me, because like they didn't listen to a lot of radio growing up and stuff. Uh-huh. And I says, and one of them put two and two together. They're like, didn't he play like somebody on Scooby-Doo? I says, Shaggy. Mm-hmm. And they're like, really?
Yep.
And yeah. So I was like, this is Casey Kasem, and you're listening to the Top 40 Countdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
I'll have to write that down.
Yeah.
Because I have to re-script. I have to rewrite it so that I can fit these characters. Plus, I have to write some of the characters. I write them how they talk.
Mm-hmm.
So Casey Kasem, I learned when I did a monologue for my acting class. and I wanted to use his voice,
mm-hmm.
I wrote it in such a way that I had special dividers with each way that he ends a sentence,
mm-hmm.
so that I would end it properly as Casey yep. Kasem would sound.
Yeah.
And somebody picked up on it in class, sort of the teacher. They're like, you did Casey Kasem, didn't you? And I was like, yep.
Yep. And the only reason why I say, because to me, that kind of makes sense. Hi ho, you know, that's hey-o, the start. And
Kermit then, D Frog here.
Yep. And then the ending would be, you know, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. And the only reason why I even bring it up, besides the fact that I know that you can do Casey's voice, is that I have been, right before we started recording this episode of Altered Geek, I have been marathoning A Pup Named Scooby-Doo on Boomerang, so I've kind of had young Shaggy in my head. So, yeah.
I should do Arnold.
You should do Arnold. Arnold the dog. The Rob Paulsen Arnold the dog from Tiny Toons.
No. I'm going
to pop you up.
Except I can't say get to the choppa, so... Because it won't fit with the dialogue.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to do on Saturday night. I'm not...
Very cool.
I don't know why I put myself up to these things, because I don't like being in front of people. And I saw the call for it go, and I was like, I text Mary and I'm like, you think I should do it? And she's like, yes.
Well, of course she's going to tell you to do it. I mean,
well, and then she was disappointed to find out that she wasn't going to be here to see it.
I haven't fully tested its capabilities of photography yet, but amongst my budgeted items for my birthday month last month, I purchased myself a Pocket Tripod Pro. And what it is, where is it? Oh, crap. I don't know where it is. Anyway. Oh, here it is, right here. So what it is it's this basically a credit card looking thing that you twist it, you fold it around and whatever. And it has these inserts, and it basically, you know, it has varying, you know, size inserts to fit your phone. So it's basically, it's a tripod for cell phones with cases, with whatever, as long as, you know, it fits whatever. And because I've been wanting something to be able to either do YouTube videos by myself where I don't have to hold my phone, where I can just set it on something and it just, you know, whatever kind of thing. And, man, I'm loving this thing. So I'll have to test it out a little more and give a more in-depth update in the next episode of the podcast. But Pocket Tripod Pro, it's pretty cool.
Interesting.
I don't think I have anything else for this.
I don't think so either. So if the fans have something that they would like to hear us talk about, yes, they can email us or they can contact us on the social medias.
Yes,
what is yours, sir?
Mine would be at TFGO and Mike.
Mine would be at SCP-21 or at Steve Phillips VO. If there's some kind of crazy voice that you want me to try and attempt and do or script something out in a future episode, let me know that too, just for fun. or if there's a tirade that you want me to go on or Mike to go on, let us know.
Oh, man.
Not hard to do, tirades. But it's always fun. We'll come prepared.
Okay, so maybe not the next episode, maybe episode 403. You know how they always say, don't sweat the small stuff? Like, that's a saying that has been said for years, and there's cups and mugs and whatever, and it has all these small... The problem I have with the don't sweat the small stuff thing is that if you don't sweat the small stuff... It builds up, it builds up, it builds up, and eventually you're going to be Bruce Banner in the Avengers. You know, the key is, Cap, I'm always angry. And that's how I've felt the last few years, even before Karen died, and it had nothing to do with my relationship with my late wife or anything like that. It had more to do with, oh my God, this goes wrong. Oh my God, that goes wrong. Or like, I'm not going to do this, but I almost want to do a YouTube video of me editing a podcast, because as of this recording, I'm in the middle of editing something and I actively say what I'm doing as I'm doing it. So that way I know what the hell I'm doing. So if I have to split a clip, or if I have to razor a clip, or if I have to cut a section of dead air out, I'm like, split, split, delete. And I will just sit here and talk to myself through the entire recording for everything I have to do, because if I do the wrong thing, it's like, oh crap, gotta go back, undo. Like, I have a PC. I've had a PC for years, but I've been using mouse controls more than anything. I feel like I'm using a damn Mac. I don't know.
So yeah, we're gonna Dell.
I don't want a Dell.
I don't want a Dell either.
Yeah, no.
Keep her away from me.
Yeah, exactly. She's too easy.
I'm not going there.
Well, I believe that's one of her more recent song titles, because I've been listening to Morning Radio again for a while. And it's I'll say this to end the show, and you can close it out after. I've been listening to Morning Radio again only because my friend Laura Hardy went from Louisville to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And she is the new co-host on the Big Joe Show on Mix 95.7 in Grand Rapids. So I've been listening to Morning Radio again just to support, you know, just to say, hey, you know, whatever. So when you listen to Morning Radio from, let's say, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., you're going to hear all of the songs, and then by the 8, 9 o'clock hour, you're going to then hear all the same songs again in the same loop. So I've been hearing a lot of Adele lately, because Mix 95.7 is, you know, the hits from 2Ks and today kind of thing. So yeah, Morning Radio, folks. Gotta love it. Absolutely. Nothing like it. All right, take us out of here, Megatron, before we go on some other rant and this episode ends up being longer than I want it to be.
Excellent. Just in time for their destruction. Execute jump now.